And good Saturday morning, and welcome into a wet Labor Day weekend start. Yeah, well, you know what Labor Day means. A couple extra days to get out there if the weather allows it. And it's also the wrap-up of the CCA Star Tournament. It's been going on since Memorial Day. Wraps up your last chance to get a winning fish in, maybe one of those tagged redfish, will be 5 p.m. on Monday. Well, are you headed out today? Well, you got to be careful. Maybe your hot dogs might get a little wet if you're going to be doing some cooking out. We've got a lot of the wet stuff around popping in and out. No major system, but just some pesky stuff. You could get in it. You could escape it. It just kind of depends on the luck of the draw and where you're headed. Want to wish good luck to participants in today's Mobile Big Game Fishing Tournament. We'll have some details if you'd like to be a spectator at the two weigh-ins today and tomorrow. Good news for those guys and girls is looking at the radar right now, Perdido Bay and Perdido River and Mobile Bay looks pretty much in the clear, at least for now. Going further to the west, not so pretty. Looks like down in Ryan Lambert and Delta Marina country down in Plaquemines Parish, it's pretty much covered up, been that way. Then you get a little bit of a break as you leave Grand Isle and kind of head a little bit to the west around Vermilion Bay, and then it picks up again. And it's been kind of sitting over there on Big Lake and Calcasieu. We're going to talk to Kirk Stance a little while, find out what they're going to be doing on this wet weekend. Anyway, what are you doing? Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That is our text line. You know, if you missed last week's live interview we did with LSU defensive tackle and Bayou Wild TV Tiger in the Wild, Jacoby and Guillory, who, by the way, is out in Las Vegas right now getting ready for tomorrow's ball game. We talked with him about his first ever bow fishing trip with the Bayou Bow Fishing Charters. Well, you're going to see that on this week's Bayou Wild TV show, and we have a clip from the show with some of Jacobian's comments about the sport of bow fishing. You'll hear from that a little bit later on. Also have the results of last week's Ride the Bull kayak tournament. That was also in conjunction with the Redfish Reload Project, a project to spawn redfish and collect fingerlings and restock them into Louisiana water. We'll tell you about that. Also, there's a new kayak launch in South Louisiana. Just opened up. We'll tell you about that during our Paddler's Report with Captain Eric. And if you had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions with all your fishing reports. We'll combine that with those from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting that message real time into the studio here at 504-260-1870. Now, you've heard of Christmas in July events, right? How about deer hunting in July? Not as good an idea as this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors found out firsthand. We've got his story for you. And I tell you, a shocking, alarming story that will be covered next week on the Bad Boys. It's hard to believe. Anyway, we'll kind of get that to you. But first, I want to cover your coastal marine forecast. This is as best we can tell. There's about an 80% chance of rain today, dropping down to about 70 tomorrow. Offshore, they're calling for 10 knots, 2 to 3 foot seas. And then for tomorrow, east winds 5 to 10, again 2 to 3 foot. Of course, those if you get caught in any of those squalls, those winds and seas could be a little bit higher. On the interior lakes and bays today, east wind 5 to 10, light chop. East wind 5 to 10, smooth conditions, got a good tide range, 1.3. Mississippi River sitting low. In fact, that may be causing some problems with saltwater intrusion into some of the water supplies coming upriver. I know the Corps of Engineers is planning to take some steps to put one of those underwater barriers in to prevent the saltwater intrusion from coming up. But that does mean some good close-in fishing for saltwater species down there, so we'll talk more about that. Anyway, you got a good tide range. The winds are pretty light. If you can just put up with the rain, you might have a shot. We'll find out what our field reporters are going to be doing, and maybe you can kind of take a hint from them. We'll be back to do that, starting off with Robbie Campo at Shell Beach Marina. He's at Campo's. We're back with his report right after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, it's Labor Day weekend across the Great Gulf Coast. Extra day or so for people to get off from work and get out and do some fishing, kind of the official end of summer, but not really unofficially. We've got several more weeks of probably the hot weather to go through, but Anyway, we got a little rain situation out there, and let's check in with Robbie Campo and find out what the situation is at Campo's Marina. Robbie, I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit on Labor Day weekend. What are you seeing down there? Are people kind of doing a see-and-wait situation? Or are they going ahead and trying to get in what looks like could be a very narrow window of opportunity? What's going on down there?
Actually, Don, we have no one here. People were turning around on the four lane. It was raining, on the way down here. But we're in a little break right now. I looked at the radar just a few minutes ago. There's a lot of rain coming from the mouth of the river, like coming straight towards Lake Bourne. I don't believe it's going to be too much longer before that gets here. We probably got maybe an hour or so window. But it doesn't look like it's too heavy. Looks like it's got a lot of green in it. The one little part over Port Sulphur had some reds, a little bit of red and a little bit of yellow in it. But for the most part, I think it's just going to be light rains today. Me personally, I wouldn't be fishing in that. But, hey, some people only have a Saturday to go or whatever, a weekend to go. Hey. If you're going, fishing wasn't that bad this week. We had some boats that made it out, Don, Thursday morning to the Sound out there by around Central area and Central Riggs area. They put some fish in the boat early in the morning. The wind did pick up on the way in. My dad fished Thursday in Lake Bourne here on the eastern shoreline with the guys from next door here, Mr. Alan Blanchett and Michael Rooney and them guys. And they went and fished down the eastern shoreline toward Bayou Pedro. They wound up with 27 specks, 30 white trout, a couple reds, a couple puppy drum, trying to wind up making a mixed box. But the speckled trout were really nice. So that's telling me that, some of these fish are starting to migrate back in from the outside out there. So I would think within the next, everybody, the trout are hitting Lake Bourne. Well, they caught some. But I think in the next couple of weeks here, Don, these fish are going to start filtering back in, and you're going to start seeing some trout action, through this Pontchartrain estuary right here. I think that's going to, the Pontchartrain Basin is going to start heating up. So, and as over on the west side of the Mystico, on the south side of the Mystico, going on the Black Bay side, this river's really low. I think you're going to start seeing some fish caught around that, right around that Bayou La Mer area by Delacro, Bayou Terra Buff, some people call it, over there around Gulfish Pass, Lake Campo, Full Horse. That area should start heating up here in the next couple of weeks also because, the salt water's moving back in, which is a good thing for fishing. It kind of wreaks havoc on Plaquemines Parish's water, but and I know they're watching that close, but, hey, we were raised in a saltwater estuary, not in a freshwater. So if there's speckled trout in there to be caught, we like to see them being caught.
Yeah, it is kind of shaping up to be a nice late summer, early fall season. Any reports of anybody seeing any teal out there in the Biloxi Marsh when they're running around?
My son told me they fished out. He fished Thursday also. They went over in the Bob's Lake area, and they saw some. They saw about 500 in one bunch out there up in that Biloxi Marsh. Now, teal ducks are a crazy thing because one day they're not there, the next day they're there. So, you go without seeing any, and then all of a sudden they're just there. So, but he did see a bunch, and he said they was all. He said, "Dad, they was in one band. They didn't separate and go. They just stayed in one bunch and landed in the pond back of kind of around McGill's Lagoon back that way. So, which is off of by Biloxi. So." They do have some teal ducks come down already. I heard some reports over on the south, around the Delacro side that they're seeing some over there, kind of around the Carnarvon area by Scarsdale. Mm. But And down toward the river, toward Beschel's Marina down that way, they're seeing some teal ducks. But tell you the truth, Don, I have not personally, I've never seen any yet. So, and I've been riding in the boat a little bit. I haven't seen any yet. So, but not to say, like I said, one day they're there, next day they're not.
Well, the tricky thing about that Biloxi marsh and teal is they got a plant that grows in there, and you and I have probably talked about it before, called tickweed. And it makes a seed head, and it's called tickweed because these seeds are little tiny black. They're about the size of a tick. And when that stuff germinates and falls in the water, the teal, it's almost like having bait in the water. Now, the problem is it doesn't stay around there long. Usually by the first week in November, it's gone. But when you can find that tickweed, that's where you're going to find those teal. And that's probably what your boy ran into, was a patch of tickweed, and that's why those teal were so thick in there. So if you do your scouting and you find your tickweed, set up on that, and that's going to be your best shot to maybe do a little bit of casting blast in a couple of weeks when it opens up.
Yep. That's probably right. But, you know, Don, this is the last weekend of Star Tournament, so
right.
If anybody wants to fish that thing, you know, one last time, this is the last hoorah, guys. So, you know, it's over with Labor Day. So, I mean, if you're not in, get in. And I wouldn't go out without it, because there's always a chance of catching that fish.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen it happen before later in the game. So, get you know, if you're not signed up, do so and go out there and try to catch it. If you're going to fish this weekend, if not. It's over with come Monday, right? I think Monday is the last
Monday,
day.
5 o'clock. Yeah, 5 p.m. All the fish will be final by then. Robbie, give out your phone number, because there's probably people going to be wanting to call you throughout this afternoon and maybe tomorrow, doing some weather check and see, asking you what it's looking like, because they're probably on hold, not sure whether they want to go out and chance it or not. So if you would, give out the best number they can call you at the marina.
You can call us at area code 504-239-6377. And this phone gets answered all day long. So tanks are full of bait over here, so we've just ready for somebody to come on out and, you know, come on fishing.
Let me say it. Hook the left when you get to the bridge. Did I do it right?
You got it, buddy.
All right, brother.
You got it.
See you
all
next
right.
week.
Talk to you later, Don. All right, bye-bye.
There you go. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, coming back after this, going to get to some of your text messages and some calendar items we got. The red snapper totals are in. If you hadn't caught your red snappers yet, you better get after it, because we're at 91% of the total quota as of August 18th. It ain't going to be open much longer, people. We'll be back right after this, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, planning on doing a little freshwater fishing. Got a couple of spots for you. You might want to try Henderson Lake. They either have already begun or has been done to draw it down. And you know what happens when they do that? It actually consolidates the fish into some of the little deeper areas. So that might become a hot spot soon. Also, some of the North Shore rivers and bayous from the Mississippi state line, where the Pearl is, going to the west, where you got Bayou Lacombe, Chifuncta River, Tickfar, Tangipahoa. Those rivers were starting to get low and clear. That could change a little depending on how much rain we get out of the system. But there was some nice fish being coming, especially from that Pearl there. It had a tournament over there last weekend, and I understand they had some pretty good results. All right, if you're a red snapper fisherman, here's the latest statistics on our harvest quota. You know, we were given almost 1 million pounds this year, 934,000 and some change. We have caught so far through August the 18th, which was a while back, 91%. So I'm thinking, depending on how this Labor Day weekend, the reports come in on Lock Creel, it could shut it down. They could estimate that we will have reached it by that time. So there's not a whole lot of time left, but at least for this weekend, if you're headed offshore, red snapper. In fact, you can do the trifecta. Triggerfish is still open, and also opening up tomorrow, I think it is amberjack. So you can catch those three offshore species. Don't forget to catch any of those offshore species. You do need that ROLP. A lot of people forget that. They get their basic and saltwater recreational license, but the ROLP, which is the Recreational Offshore Landing Permit, it's absolutely free. You can get it online. You can get it at any place where you buy your license, but make sure you have it, because it is mandatory. All right, over there on the Alabama coast, we got the big Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, Labor Day Annual Tournament. And looking at the forecast and the radar, looks like they're pretty much in the clear, at least for a while. They've got the fishing taking place today. The dock, the Way Dock will open tonight at 7 to 8. There's an hour there. And then tomorrow will be open 3 hours on the final day from 4 to 8 p.m. And that's down there on the Alabama coast. And that's a big money, big fish tournament. All right, something I wanted to throw out there to the audience. I've been getting a lot of listeners wanting to know about where can they go on a per day, per pay for a dove hunt. And I do not have any information on it. So if you have information, maybe you are a landowner and you're leasing your fields and you're allowing people to come in there on a day-by-day basis, please let me know. You can email me, and I'll give out the email address in just a second. But dove hunting is getting ready to open in all the states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Opens up tomorrow, I believe, both the north and south zones in Mississippi. Then following week, next Saturday, it'll be opening up in the north zone of Alabama and also statewide in Louisiana. All right, if you have any information about where someone can go on a dove hunt, send it to me. It's D Dubuque. That's D-U-B-U-C. D Dubuque at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. That's on my website. You can go to that website and find the contact and include it there. Something else I'd like to get, if possible, I met with Glenn Shore of Standard Mapping and Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures, and we are going to be doing a Bayou Wild TV tribute to Dutch Prager. A lot of you know Dutch was one of the founders of the New Orleans Big Game Fishing Club, was a World War II veteran, a heck of a nice guy, lived to the ripe old age of 99, passed away several weeks ago. He would have been 100 in January, and we're going to be doing a tribute, a dedication to a place called Dutch's Corner, one of his favorite fishing spots in the Biloxi Marsh. It will be embedded onto the standard map, digital maps, and also their printed maps. And we're looking to get some photographs. If you happen to have some photographs of any of his 99 years, whether he was a young man or whether his golden years, please send that to me. And again, it's easy to do. You just scan a picture that you might have, and you can email it to me. Again, that address is D Dubuc, D-U-B-U-C. At DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and we'll certainly appreciate getting that. All right, got some more information to share. Going to get to some of your text messages. Thank you for sending them in on this Labor Day weekend, and we'll be back to read them for you right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuc, Radio Network. All right, what you got going on this Labor Day weekend? Is the rain preventing you from getting out and doing your Saturday morning fishing trip? You're going to maybe wait and give it a little shot for tomorrow. I hope it doesn't rain much. Trip out tomorrow. I got a tarpon trip planned tomorrow with one of our Hunt of a Lifetime recipients coming from New Jersey all the way down to fish with Stillwater Charters and Captain Jeremy McHugh, and hopefully you'll get to see that on a future Bayou Wild TV episodes. All right, checking on some of our text messages. Let's see, we're hearing from Old Man Sam. It's a Mississippi pink-eyed, purple-hulled people shelling and canning day in Hammond. That's what you call some fancy alliteration there. Pink-eyed, purple-hulled peas. He's getting them shelled. Yeah, that's one thing to do on a rainy day. Here's one says the satsumas and a grapefruit. They're dancing in the front yard. The goats and chickens are laid up. That's from Big Mike. He's over there listening to us on Rainy Bayou Liberty. And also listening to us this morning is one of our Department of Wildlife and Fisheries commissioners, Commissioner DeQuir. He's listening to the show this morning with his 11-year-old. They were headed to the camp for a work day, but looks like the rain may have got them. Well, I wouldn't give up too soon. Looks like that stuff, you know, sometimes there's a tendency to rain itself out, and the afternoons get kind of neat, and then it comes back later overnight or the next morning. So you never know. It's a good chance you could see the wet stuff, but then again, good chance you may not. All right, we got a quick station identification pause, and we'll be back to take a look at some more of your text messages right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuc Radio Network. All right, and our very talented wingbone turkey maker, Ed from Wilmer, Alabama, is checking in. Says, Alabama has a fall turkey season. I will have to investigate that, wingbone, because I was over there scouting for doves in Alabama, and lo and behold, I came up on three big gobblers staring at me. So I kind of got the GPS marked on that. You might see me around there during the fall season. All right, here's one says, football's here. That means hunting season's right around the corner. Yes, it does. And their Labor Day weekend will be filled with painting and touching up decoys, practice shooting some skeet, changing boat from a fishing boat back to a mud boat. It never gets old. Go Tigers. That's from the Colonel listening to us in Hammond. Good way to spend a Labor Day Saturday on a rainy day. Here's Butch. He's our Wycloski bridge tender. He says on his way to work, it started raining when he got to the Violet Canal Bridge all the way to work. He hasn't seen one boat yet. Yeah, everybody seems to have gotten the message and kind of holding up on getting out there. There's something about going out fishing or hunting and getting caught in the rain as opposed to going out in the rain. I think you get wet either way, but I think it's just something psychological about just, you know, jumping in the boat when it's raining and going out in the rain as opposed to, well, we went out and we happened to get caught in it. I don't know. What do you think? All right, Captain Ross L., he's checking in with us. Fishing's been good. He's been running around the weather. Yeah, a lot of boats have to play catch-up and move around those storms. Sometimes you can do that. Hope he can scoot around it today. All right, we got Toby checking in. He says, as much as he'd rather be fishing, he's headed up to the SIP to weld a hunting club gate 1 month to go, brother. Well, not unless you're going to participate in the velvet season. You know, then you only got a couple weekends away. That's going to be September 13th through 15th. There's a special Mississippi where you're hunting velvet deer season. You do need a special permit for it, but, you know, it might be something interesting to get a little jump on the hunting season for you. It is archery, and I know you do some archery. All right, here we have, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is going to have dove hunting lease fields in DeRidder, Beauregard Parish, and Colfax, Grant Parish for Saturday opening day, September the 7th. Information on the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery website. Yeah, you might want to check that out. I did see that. If you're looking to make a trip up in the west and northwest Louisiana areas, check it out. It's Department of Wildlife and Fishery. They've got dove hunting lease fields. And there are some management areas that offer some public hunting, too. But I've had people that are looking for private lands that charge a fee per day to come in and hunt doves. And over the years, there's been a few, but it seems like there's less and less. It seems like more of it goes to just the private landowners. Have enough friends and relatives to invite to make a hunt and really don't have enough room to lease it out to extra people. All right, you got a text for us, 504-260-1870. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be hearing from LSU defensive tackle Jacoby and Guillory. A lot of you who watch our TV program called Bayou Wild TV know that we've instituted this year a feature called Tigers in the Wild, where we take LSU athletes out and involve them in hunting and fishing and outdoor sports, and we've had a great time doing it. Big Jacoby and Guillory came with us with Mark Vogt on the Bayou Bow Fishing Charters, and we had a really good trip. And he was on with us last week, and we got him on last week because he's in Las Vegas getting ready to play ball tomorrow night. But we do have some of his recorded comments from that feature, and we'll let you listen to those coming back right after the top of the hour. We've also got coming up after this break, Kirk Stansel. I'm sure they're looking at raindrops. I've been watching the storm just kind of sit on them over there in the Calcasieu area for the last several hours. But hopefully it'll move off and give them a chance because I saw some nice trout coming in. And we'll also get a little bit of an early teal report. Talking to Captain Kirk Stansel at Hackberry Rod and Gun. His report for you is next, and you'll hear it right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to head out west, out to Hackberry Rod and Gun, and talk to Captain Kirk Stansel. And, Kirk, I've been watching this radar for the last couple of hours, and, man, it's just sitting on you guys. It's not moving, but it does look like it's lightened up. What's going on over there on this Labor Day Saturday morning? Are you guys going to get out, or are you going to kind of hang back a while?
Well, we're hanging back now, but I think 7-8 o'clock we should be able to get out. It's supposed to kind of ease off and then come back in around noon. So I think we'll get a day in. We've got rain. Got it yesterday. We didn't go at all yesterday because it just rained all day. And then again this morning, that little low sitting offshore there just pumping it in on us.
Well, I did see a couple of big trout that came in from that area this week. Was some of your boats in on that?
We had a couple of nice fish, you know, up in the at five and a half, five and three quarter pounds. Nothing huge, but, you know, a real nice trout. Probably the biggest ones we've caught this year.
Yeah, that's fine fish. And as far as mixed in with some red and flounder?
Yeah, not many flounder, a few. Just, you know, here and there, the redfish bite turned back on. You know, it'd been off all summer. But here in the last week, we've been catching redfish, mainly in the marshes around the weirs and stuff. And then the trout, you know, we had a real good bite, you know, a couple weeks ago when we had that northeast wind. Then that bite has tapered off, not catching the numbers we were. They're still along the channel. A lot of undersized fish. Nothing really happening in the lake itself at all. But, you know, this east wind been blowing, you know, 8-10 miles an hour every day, and that's kind of killed the lake bite for sure.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of in that, I guess you'd call it an in-between stage where they really haven't started making a transition. Yeah, what is the best technique or tactic y'all use when the fishing gets like this?
Oh, the best are those DuPont Red Sticks. Have you ever used one?
No, I have not. Tell me about it.
All right, you light the fuse and throw it in the water. And wait with the dip net.
Oh, boy. No. You set the hook on that one. Yes, indeed. Yeah, that'll work, though. That will work.
Yeah, it'll work. You better believe it. Now, man, the best technique right now is, I mean, it's fish hard. That's your best technique right now because it's a tough bite. It always is first part of September till we get a couple cool fronts that start pushing the bait out. But, you know, you have everything, have a full arsenal when you go out. I'm talking about have some live shrimp, catch you some live mullet, you know, when you go out, or some croaker, and, you know, and soft plastics is mainly the best artificial bait right now. And, you know, on a 3/16 or a quarter ounce jig head, the down south lures or the Little Johns, both of those have been working. And in the light colors, let's say the bone diamond, you know, something that imitates more of a shrimp.
Now, those 5-pound-plus trout that came in, were that incidental to catching smaller fish, or was that something they targeted?
Yeah, that was. Those actually came off the rocks, right off the ship channel, right out there in front of the camp on live mullet.
Yeah. All right, how about teal? What are we seeing these days?
We're seeing them. They're showing up. They've been showing up for about the last 2 weeks. And there's quite a few teal down here. Even in the marshes, we got pockets that are showing quite a few teal.
Now, last year we had that drought, and that created a real unique situation down there. But that's not going on this year.
No, it's far from that this year. I mean, you're looking at two opposites right now from last year to this year. But, yeah, the marshes are in great shape. You know, we've had all this rain all year long, you know, and a lot of duck food. You know, if we can keep storms away, I think we'll have a real good waterfowl season.
Well, our Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary and even our governor got involved, and they have asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service if we can include black-bellied whistling tree ducks, the Mexican whistlers, into our teal season. Probably not for this year, but for next year. How would that impact your hunting down there?
Oh, we would shoot some. There's no doubt because that's when we see them. You know, during the regular duck season, we see a few, but they're around. There's a lot more of them around during teal season. Now, is it just black bellies or the fulvish too?
Just the black bellies.
Okay. I mean, that's what we're seeing more of, but we do see quite a few fulvish, you know, and, you know, a lot of hunters have to be able to distinguish between the two.
Well, yeah, you would if it was during teal season. Of course, during the regular season,
exactly.
It doesn't matter. You can take them.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Down around your parks and areas where hunting's not allowed, do you see a lot of them congregating there like we do in other parts of the state?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's just a lot of the ponds. In Hackberry, for instance, a lot of places where you have these just ponds and stuff, and especially when it's close to where they feed cattle. Uh-huh. Just bunches of them show up.
Now, what is your thinking on this? Some people say if we opened up and put more pressure on them by hunting them during the teal season, they become more wary and you wouldn't see them doing that. Just like we don't see very many teal and mallards and gray ducks sitting around the parks and the ditches and the canals and that type of thing. And other people say, no, you'll just drive them there because they'll realize that's where it's safe to go. What do you think?
I think we'll have to hunt them and wait and see. I mean, who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, who knows? That's only speculation. You know, people have opinions, of course, and I don't know. If there's no pressure, you know, just like regular ducks, if there's areas where there's no pressure, that's where the ducks are going to congregate.
Well, they're kind of goofy. In fact, I think that's the species Daffy Duck was. I mean, they kind of goofy. I don't know if they know what they would do, but we need to find out.
That's a fact, you know, and they're sissies, too. All you got to do is hit one in the toenail, and he's going to fall.
Kirk, if you would, you guys just have too much fun there. Give us a phone number if somebody wants to come get in on it.
Okay, it's toll-free, Don. It's 888-762-3391, and our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun, spell out the word and, .com. And look at our live webcams. You know, you can see what we're bringing in, you know, as far as fishing goes.
Always good report. Thanks so much, Kirk. Always appreciate it, my friend.
You bet. All right. Good talking to you, Don. You have a great show. Thank you.
Thank you. And there he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel. Coming back after this, Captain Darrell Carpenter, Grand Isle, another area kind of socked in. Looks like it won't give him a break down there for this Labor Day weekend. We'll find out if he's going to kind of dodge between the raindrops or if he's going to kind of hold back. I guess it's really up to the customers. Do you want to get wet and catch fish, or do you want to stay dry and eat some fried chicken? I don't know. We'll find out right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's check on Grand Isle and talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And Darrell, have you guys made the call on today or not? It looks like it's been sitting over you now for a couple hours, but maybe not quite as intense as it was.
Yeah, right, Don. I mean, something along the lines of a cow and a flat rock comes to mind since about 3 o'clock this morning. But no, we've got we're actually doing more shrimp trawl trips this morning, so we're just kind of waiting to see if it passes. We're hoping 7:30, 8 o'clock. From the looks of it, it might give us a little bit of a break. That way we can go out there and see if we can't get these people on the water for a little while and, you know, going to give that a try. But, I mean, other than that, the fishing has been, the weather hasn't really been conducive all week long to doing a lot of fishing, but even going up there and having to hide in the marsh, everybody that's been up there and braving it has been coming back with very respectable boxes of fish. I mean, it's obvious that in our area, at least, the transition has started because there's plenty of good fish up in the marsh still.
Yeah, well, y'all get that transition start. You get to jump on it as opposed to other areas in the state. It's always a little earlier there. Anybody make any trips to our new reef, the Raising Cane's Reef that we talked about?
Not that I'm aware of, Don. You've had very few moments of calm to where you'd want to be in open water, and usually those moments of calm come, you know, you get those hard 30, 40 mile an hour gusts of winds ahead of those squalls that move in, and then once the leading edge of that squall passes and it's pouring down rain, it's dead calm. But not a whole lot of people want to be sitting there when you got an inch an hour coming down, which is what some of these have been having. They just haven't been lasting long, thank God.
Right. How did things go for you yesterday? I mean, last week you were working the Ride the Bull catch boat.
We did very well. I was actually working for the redfish stocking program. I think we brought back 17. Mm-hmm. I think their final count was 17 bull reds that we harvested, two head to the to Mississippi, to the Ocean Springs, or wherever it is over there. Of those 17, I think they picked they picked 6 or 8 of the healthiest ones, and those are the ones that made the trip over there to make us some babies.
Yep, we're going to be going over there and documenting that when they get them all settled into their permanent spawning tanks. The tournament it was kind of rough, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wind bounced up to about 30 miles an hour in the middle of it. They had a screaming outgoing tide the entire time. I think they sunk probably and even though it's hard to do, you know, those little plastic corks are hard to sink, but I think they ended up like a dozen people they having to rescue out of the water, just trying to anchor up in that real, real hard current with a wind pushing it also, and, you know, they'd get in trouble and flip it or whatever. And, man, look, some of these things, I saw some of these yaks that had, you know, twin screens on it. It had to be 9 to 12 inch screens on it. And I'm like, man, it would hurt to dunk that thing in that salt water.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good thing about a kayak is it's hard to sink them. They'll turn and flip, but as far as going to the bottom, that doesn't happen that often, thank God. Yeah,
right,
well,
right. They got rough. I think they called it off about 10:30 or so when it just got to where it was too rough, and the people that had the wherewithal, I think they were probably down to about 75 that were still out there. The rest of them had all retreated back to the marinas. So I think about 10:30 or so, they went ahead and blew it off for unsafe conditions.
Yeah, well, nobody got seriously hurt. That was good. And you collected the redfish for the spawn, so that was good. And a lot of people, I'm sure, had some fun, even though they might have got a little bit of a dunking. Well, Darrell, what's going to be the plan from here on out if we get this weather system out of here? What would be the first spot you'd head?
Well, Don, I think right now, I think after yesterday's rain, which was pretty much all day long and all, I think it's going to be, you got to start over and you just got to go experiment. We got to find out. When you've got places like Golden Meadow and those places that are inside of levees and they have pumps, you got to see how much of this rain caused their pumps to activate and what it's going to muddy up. So I think it's going to be a little bit of exploratory, but I think I'd probably be headed up toward, that Hackberry Bay area, Hackberry Bay, Bassa, and those areas and start looking there. If it calms down enough, I mean, those fish are ripe to be right on Hotel Cid. Those kind of areas are all going to be very nice. And, I mean, as of last week when we had those north winds, there was still a lot of fish on the beach. So there's fish everywhere. You just got to get the right conditions to go find them and then adjust to what the conditions are that you do have.
All right. You can find him on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, his website, which is RealScreamers.com. Give him the telephone number down if they want to give you a call.
Sure. They can call 225-937-6288.
Very good. Hope you get your trip in this weekend, Darrell.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a good day, Don. Y'all stay dry.
Thank you. Captain Darrell Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. All right, when we come back after this, we got a paddler's report with Captain Eric Mohabarak. He'll give us some more results of the Ride the Bull. Jacobian Guillory, defensive tackle for LSU, going to talk to us about bow fishing. Captain Ryan Lambert, the plastic man, got a report with him. And Bone in the Bayou's Mike Gallo. All coming up in hour number two of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And welcome to hour number two on this wet Labor Day weekend. At least it's a wet start. Hopefully it'll get a little bit drier as we move into it. Maybe Monday's going to look a whole lot better. Going to have pretty much the same stuff, maybe a little bit less tomorrow. Anyway, we have got a Tigers in the Wild TV preview for you, and this Tigers in the Wild TV preview is a presentation of Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. Let's listen to Jacobian Guillory on his first bow fishing trip.
Jacobian, growing up, was it all athletics or was there some hunting and fishing in there?
I really was all athletics, man. I'm from Alexandria, Louisiana, and they do a little hunting and fishing out there, but I was never, like, that was never me at first. But, like, when I got to college, I just kind of, like, just gravitated towards it. I just grew, like, with it a little bit, and I kind of just started liking it. And I met Miss Grace, and then she was just like, you could be one of our athletes. And ever since then, I just began more and more into it.
Has hunting and fishing been a part of your family's tradition?
A lot of my family's, like, a lot of cousins, a lot of uncles, aunts, like, they do a lot of fishing. I've never really been, like, I've only been fishing once before this. So, like, just a chance that, you got a chance to take me out there. Like, we were boat fishing. It was really fun.
Yeah, a lot of people will say fishing takes a lot of patience because you got to wait. Ain't no waiting in boat fishing. Like hunting. You're going after them.
Yeah. It was really different from regular fishing because regular fishing, like, you would be out there for hours and not catch nothing, but with bow fishing, we'll always guarantee to catch something.
I guess it's kind of like when you're on the field. There's moments where things are kind of slow and it gets quiet, and then all of a sudden it's organized chaos.
Yes, sir. It's kind of like that. Like, at first I thought we were going to just be like out there because first we were just riding around. And I was like, well, I don't really see no fish. Then boom, all of a sudden I caught my first catfish. So it was a really good experience.
It's a great way to go because there's a whole different look to it at night with those lights. You can run for days in the daylight and you never see a fish, but at night you can see everything.
Right. It was really surprising how clear the water was. And you said, like, it was a little muddy.
Yeah,
and that's what you said, like, but I could see them perfectly, so I could imagine what a clear night looks like.
What advice would you have for somebody going out there to do that the first time? They say it looks a lot easier than what it is to do.
I'll say just shoot, like you told me, just shoot 6 inches below. That's like my biggest advice. And just don't be afraid to take the shot. Take a couple practice shots before, but always shoot 6 inches below. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice. There's other advice I can give.
How's things going on the practice field?
Everything's going great. It's been a great, good grind. Like with Coach Flint's system this year, like we're hitting it really hard. There was no off days in the off season, so every day I was hitting it hard, working out. Just we're building every day.
You're looking forward to this first game of the season?
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to that first game. I can't wait to go to Vegas.
Describe for people, a lot of them know what it's like in the stands on a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. What's it like down on that field?
Oh, man, it's literally like, well, it's literally unrealistic, I say, because, like, you can't hear people until, like, something good happens or something bad happens. But most of the time in Tiger Stadium, something good's always happening. So, like, it's really, like, so surreal, like, until, like, you make that first play. And, like, you just hear everybody, you hear the whole crowd and everything. But other than that, man, it's just, like, I'm out here doing a thing I love in front of all these people. So, you know what I'm saying? It's really, like, quiet to me.
Is the crowd distracting when you're trying to pay attention to what you worked on all week long?
No, because, like, you know, I'm so locked in the game.
Focus.
But, I mean, in the fourth quarter when there's a blowout, you know, it's a little distracting then. But most, like, all the game, I'm locked in for the most part.
So what's ahead for Jacobian at the end of the season?
At the end of the season, work my tail off to get to look in the NFL draft. And that's about it.
We'll be following you on the field. If people want to follow you on social media, how can they do it?
This is on Instagram, Jacobian is 00, Jacobian 00, J-A-C-O-B-I-A-N 00.
And what number on the field?
Number 90.
We'll be looking for you.
Yes, sir.
There he is, Jacobian Guillory. You can watch him tomorrow night. All right, and you can watch him on Bayou Wild TV this weekend and all week. It'll be on all of our shows. Go to BayouWildTV.com, find a station and a time where you can watch it, or just simply go to BayouWildTV.com, and it's on our YouTube channel. You can there and watch it anytime, any place you like. All right, we come back after this. Captain Mike Gallo joins us with a fishing report from his neck of the woods over in the Lake Catherine, Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, Mr. Go. It's Have Boat, Will Travel for Mr. Gallo, and he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born in the Bay report with Mike Gallo is sponsored by Sea-Tow. For $249 for a whole year, you get a membership that will bring you unlimited, as many times as you need. Fuel brought out there, towed in 24/7, jump starts for those electrical problems, whatever it's going to take to get you back safely, Sea-Tow is like a AAA on the water policy. Peace of mind for you and your loved ones, and it's one phone call away. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or one simple click on the computer to seatow.com. And you'll be signed up. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, what's the situation over at Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge? Scuttled trip, wait and see, or are we going?
Well, it's a wait and see at the moment. We just had a strong band of showers come through. Really came down hard for probably, 30, 35 minutes. And it seems to be tapering off. But the radar, as you can see, is pretty crowded with thunderstorms. So we're going to be in a holding pattern, might slip off and grab some breakfast before we make a final decision.
And what would the plan be? Would you try to cross Lake Bourne or kind of stay close in some of the canals and maybe even fish the mouth of the Pearl or the Wrigley's?
We would stay in the local area and fish some of the deeper channels, Wrigley's Pass, Chef Pass, Unknown Pass. All those have had a mix of white trout and speckled trout. It's been the normal pattern that we've seen develop over the last month, more white trout than speckled trout. But each day we do seem to catch some fairly nice speckled trout. You'll have the occasional redfish, drum, sheephead. Of course, there's the undesirable catfish and stingrays that come along and try to eat up your bait. Sometimes you have to move to get away from them. Other times they sort of pass through and the white trout come back through. So it's been productive. It's just been very hit and miss with the weather we've had most of this week.
You know, Mike, there's several of those places you mentioned, Unknown Pass, Chef Pass, Miller's Ditch, those little bayous that kind of wind through connecting the lakes. They can be deep, and with the tide movement, we got like 1.3. It should be some water rolling through there. How do you fish those? How do you rig up, and what are you looking to catch?
Well, 1.3 with this type of water temperature, those fish will sometimes be right in the middle. right where the most amount of water is going to be pulling bait to them. So you'll fish them with a drop shot. If you have to add extra weight to get down to the bottom, that's not a big deal. But a one-ounce sinker should get you to the bottom, and you shouldn't have an issue. Catching fish, you just may have to move a little bit till you find them.
Yeah. Any other options you could think of? You know, a lot of people like to fish the bridge on a day like today because you can get underneath it if it comes down a deluge on you.
Right. We had a boat go to the bridge last week that caught some redfish and some black drum and some sheephead. He did not catch any trout, but he did catch some fish hanging out by the bridge, staying in the shade, trying to avoid the heat.
And if someone could get into the Biloxi Marsh, if the weather allows them to do that, what would be the technique there?
I'd do the same thing, Don. I'd fish some of those deeper channels where there's good moving water and there's holes. Biloxi Bayou itself, the Southwest Branch, several areas where there's some deep holes that'll have some trout in there as well. Starting to see more shrimp in the local area. And I think that's bringing some of those trout in with them. The shrimp are too small for, you know, we like them bigger when we want to eat them. But as far as fish goes, they eat them at all sizes.
Yeah, they do. Well, Mike, you know, I've got you designated as one of our bird watchers for the ducks and the teal. What have you been seeing? Can you report anything to us?
I haven't seen any teal as of yet. I heard Robbie Campo talking about seeing quite a few of them, so I must not be looking in the right places or I'm leaving too late.
Well, I know you got whistlers around your place. We've seen enough
of
those.
Yeah, we have seen those. Yeah, they seem to like it.
Well, Mike, I hope you get your trips in this whole weekend. I know this is a big weekend for people, Labor Day. A lot of people have extra time, and they really look forward to catching some fish and then coming back and watching some football. So I hope you get them in. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and schedule something on down the road as we get those transitional fish starting to move in, what's the calendar look like ahead, and how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, we got quite a few captains to take care of you. Calendar does have quite a few open spots on it. Things look like it's shaping up to be a very good fall. So kind of excited about that. Easy. You can reach me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. You can find me at AAofLA.com. Or you could call. The phone number is 985-781-7811.
All right. Hope you got a good fishing report and a better weather report for us next week, Mike. Thank you for the report you gave us. We appreciate it.
All righty, Don. We'll talk to you then.
And there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. All right, up next, we got a lot to talk about with this guy, Captain Merrick Mahabarak. We're going to kind of give you the winner of the Ride the Bull, how that went, and also tell you about a new kayak launch that has recently opened up, and also get some fishing tips for you if you're fishing from a kayak craft. We'll be back to do that with Captain Eric Mahabarak of Louisiana Kayak Company next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our paddler's report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is a presentation of Massey's three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and also on the North Shore in Covington. You're going to find the best kayak fishing models anywhere. Plus, they've got those demo days where you can try before you buy. And right now, they got a special summer clearance going on. And Eric Mahabarak joins us now to talk more about it. Eric, what they giving away over there?
Good morning, Don. How y'all doing this morning? They giving away. Well, that's funny you said that. They actually have. Well, they got a 20% sale at off of items at all stores, but they also some of the items are 40% off. It's kayaks,
wow.
Hoka shoes, green eggs, ski clothes. We can go on down the list. They got, you know, all the Sims clothing and Columbia and all those items that are outstanding products. But, yeah, they're running a sale, and I think the 40% ends Monday. Don't quote me on that. Call one of the stores and get the information on it. But I know they are running a summer sale clearance.
Very good.
So it's from 20% to 40%.
Let's go back 1 week. Ride the Bull, Grand Isle, Caminata Bay. Boy, it was windy, stiff current, 308 total boats, I think there was. It took a 26.20 despite that to win it. Who was the lucky winner?
The lucky winner was the grand champion is Kenny Clements. I don't know where the gentleman's from or anything about him, but he is the winner of it. And, you know, he came in with a 26-pounder. They cut, from my understanding, they cut the Ride the Bull short a little bit due to inclement weather and stuff like that, which was a smart move. Nobody can be mad about that. Safety first.
Exactly. Now, we also had is this an official costume contest, or is this unofficial?
This is an official contest, and it was kind of actually started by the man who won it today, this time. As a joke, at the very first one, he dressed up as a clown. Well, it caught on, and other people started dressing up. Some of them dressed up like running in the bulls, you know, with the scarves and the white shirts and stuff. And they got all kinds of other costumes they come out in. And he actually, finally, after all of these years of dressing up, Harry Flanagan won first place for the costume contest. And he's pretty proud of that. He's been doing it. He's a real big supporter, and that's one of his favorite things to do is fish Ride the Bull.
Very good. Now, I think I saw a picture of him too, and he definitely deserved to win that. All right, now we got another one coming up from the BCKFC called the Redfish Rumble. How does that work?
I believe it's an aggregate of the length of five fish. The largest one, the redfish, it's a redfish, of course. The largest one you can catch is 29.75. So if you get five fish at a 29.75, you will most probably, more than likely, be the winner. But that's as large as you can get the fish. And it's photo catch release, so, you know, that's going to help out the fish.
Any boundaries?
It's Highway 23, Plaquemines Parish, all of Plaquemines Parish, and St. Bernard. So you can fish all of St. Bernard and all of Plaquemines Parish.
Well, since you're talking about that, how is the fishing down that way?
Man, the fishing's getting good. You know that, Don, with this river getting low. The lower it gets, the better it gets. I mean, it's just really good fishing right now. You know, you get a good tide, and you'll be right on them, no problem. Getting a few trout, some redfish, getting in the marshes really good. Earlier in the morning, I find it gets a little hot during the day still. It's doing well. The flounder is picking up. It looks like it's going to be a hot fall season for the trout for sure. Hoping them big girls come back in.
Yep. And Pontchartrain giving up a few reds and also some flounder, too, for the kayakers, huh?
Yeah, Don, actually, this is a great report. Launched out of Williams and started drifting the shore and ended up catching almost a limit of reds. There was three of them, so it was almost a limit. I don't remember the exact number. Caught some white trout and a few specks, keepers, actually. And they caught a gorgeous flounder. Just unbelievable. Just bouncing the bottom with dead bait. And then, you know, that's an easy thing you can do. You got to pick your day, though, you know, with the wind. Make sure it's a south wind coming.
Yep.
And you'll do it out there. And I also heard they got some shrimp being caught along the lake there. I haven't gotten on that yet, but I will.
Oh, good news. That's part of the lake coming alive. I did want to let everybody know there's a new kayak launch in a dock and a parking lot. And it's at the bayou. It's on the bayou at E.D. White Historic Site, which is on Highway 1 in Thibodaux. So there's a little bit of a tip for people that are looking to put a kayak into maybe a new area that they would like to fish. It's at the E.D. White Historic Site. If you Google it, you can find it pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know anything about it.
All right, now you're doing maintenance today. You're cleaning up storage containers, getting the baits right, and you're cooking kookaburra?
Kookaburra, you know, the Italian swallow.
Oh, yeah, do I know? I just had some.
Yeah.
Lucio Orfanello, who is a proprietor of Scott's Marine in Elberta, Alabama, he cooked me some, and, man, it was fantastic. I hadn't had it since I was a kid. My grandmother used to cook it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Isn't it good? That's kind of how I got my neighbor. I grew them last year, and I gave some to my neighbor. He gave me some back. So it was a good thing. And the kookaburra is really good, actually. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, a squash is be the closest thing you could name it. David Hubble,
yeah, it is.
He texted me. He's hoping for some rain over there on the Alabama coast. He's got Millitons and Gugutzes at stake there. They need some rain. So yeah. If you know a rain dance, do one for him.
It should be coming that way, I would think, with all of this mess going on.
Well, it looks like they got some, I think, a little bit yesterday. Hopefully they can get some tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, Louisiana Kayak Company, you supply the kayaks, you supply the bait, the tackle, the rods, the reels, everything people need to get in on it. How do they get a hold of you to set that up?
Man, the easiest way would be to text me or call me at 504-313-8292. You can get in touch with me on your website, on Don's website, Don Dubuque, the Outdoors Guy, or Facebook or Instagram. It's really simple. It's not that hard. You can call Massey's if you forget all of that. I can be found. It's not hard to find me.
All right. You can find him cooking gugusa later on today. All right, Eric, thanks so much. Let me know how it turns out next time we talk, okay?
Yeah, Don, I'll give you a yell. All right, man. Be good. Y'all have a great day and happy Labor Day.
All right, there he goes. Eric Muhabarak, Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, coming back after this. Boy, I had a tough decision on our bad boy feature. I got one. I'm going to do that one next week, but it's horrendous, and I think it might be one of our contenders for the baddest of the bad for the year. That's going to be somebody charged with animal abuse, and we'll do that next week. But this week, it's a guy who decided to spend a little bit of, not Christmas in July, but deer hunting in July. Didn't pay off so well for him. His story is coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, some text messages from listeners this morning. We got Bayou Pete. He's working on socolay poles and crab nets. He's doing well on both species. He really enjoys the show. Thank you, Bayou Pete. Appreciate that. And this one from the Point Lahash Whistler. He's going to be under the house putting the boat blind together. Weather permitting, we'll go out putting floating ropes to keep the lilies out. Yeah, got to make a landing zone for those teal. And here's one asking about fishing reports from Point of Shen, Montague, Cocotree Fishing Areas. Anybody got any? Text them to me, 504-260-1870. And see if we can maybe find us a reliable reporter we can get from that area to come on from time to time. All right, here's, let's see, we got this one in, got hot and abused by the wind at Ride the Bull, getting rained out at Shell Beach this weekend. No choice but volunteer to perform honeydews this weekend. Suffering in Acadiana. That's from Lafayette Talker, or Yacker, whichever one. He's talking today, not yakking. All right, we have John Terrebonne. He's with the Convent Hunting Club. Hadn't heard from him in a while, but, yeah, we're getting not too far away from the rabbit season. He's on the way to the rabbit dog cages with his six-year-old son, Kai. And that's his shadow, his hunting and fishing buddy, and he always wakes up and answers to the bell. Love to hear that. And here's to a good season of that lapin hunting, as they say, in Bayou country. All right, Big Ross L. is wishing a happy 87th birthday to his father-in-law, Warren Morse, lifelong hunter, fisherman, and a longtime listener. Happy B-Day, Warren. And let's see, we got this one. Lafitte LT had a good trip Thursday before the rain came in. The redfish were really hungry in Turtle Bay and Little Lake area. Thanks for all you do. Boy, that's a great area to fish. I can recall going in a little lake with Tofio Bourgeois about this time of the year. And you get those big schools of reds start to come in, and you can see them on top of the water. We used to call that nervous water when you'd see those ripples. And once you got into them, boy, whoo, what fun that was. Good old Tofio Bourgeois was part of his area. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause. When we come back, it's bad boy time. No deer hunting in July is allowed. We'll tell you the story of someone who didn't quite get the memo right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On the first of this month, Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Agent Senior Agent Hunter Pearson, Corporal Trey Coates, Sergeant Ed Ridgel, and Agent Ethan Arbor received information about a 10-point deer that was taken from a Baker, Louisiana residence during closed season. Agents made contact with Randall Tabor, living up to the hunt close to his home, and Hunt Early admitted to taking the deer off his property in Baker on July 26 with a rifle. The agents seized the deer antlers and the deer meat and donated the meat to a local charity. They also cited Tabor with taking a deer during closed season, facing maximum criminal and civil restitution penalties in the amount of $2,983 and up to 120 days in jail, is 58-year-old Randall Tabor of Baker, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Well, I guess having a 10-point hanging around your porch was just a little too tempting, and he probably would have gotten away for it, but we don't know this for sure. But could have been that he just had to brag about it, and that's where LDWF got the tip that led to his citation. All right, we'll be back right after this and talk to the Plastic Man, Ryan Lambert. Get a fishing report. Boy, they've been getting socked in down there all morning down in Plaquemines Parish. Will they get out or will they wait? We'll find out right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I have a text coming in wanting to know, have you heard of anyone catching channel mullet lately? I never, ever hear about them, and they're really a tasty fish. What's the best way to catch them? No, you don't hear a lot of people bragging about them. They're not really a mullet. They're the part of the whiting family. I would describe the texture of that of a redfish, but more the taste of a speckled trout. They don't usually get very big, and my recollection of catching them is pretty much on live or dead bait, although I have caught a few on plastics. And the thing about them is it's generally in a little, I would say, deeper water. You know, in channels, as the name says, I've caught them in the Mr. Go. I've caught them out in the deeper bays and some of the cuts, sometimes in the 14 feet of water in Lake Pontchartrain. And believe me, I never let one go when it gets away because that is an excellent eating fish. It's just not what you consider a high-profile trout, like a speckled trout or a redfish. Ryan, what's your experience with catching channel mullet? I know y'all catch them down there.
Yeah, same thing. You know, when we start vertical jigging, we'll start catching them. And, you know, we start fishing in deeper water in the wintertime. That's when we catch them.
In the wintertime, huh? Yeah. Yep. Good fish. Good fish to add to the mix there. What kind, man, looks like that weather's just been sitting on the lodge down there. Are you down there right now?
Yeah, it's been sitting on it for like 6 months now, it feels like.
6 months. I didn't think it was quite that long, but yeah, it's been there all night, I can tell you that.
Oh, it's been a heck of a week with the weather. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. The
wind had been so bad, but just the rain everywhere, yeah. Lightning. But, you know, that's all right. We'll get out there. The good thing about it is mostly isolated, so you can go around them and dodge them without getting wet or struck by lightning or anything like that. So it's all right. That's been good. A lot of redfish. Hadn't been able to get onto the trout, because those are out in the bay right now. And it's hard to make that effort to get out there and get stuck, you know.
You doing any fishing in the river now that the wedge is moving up?
Oh, yeah, it's on. The trout won't show up until later, but, you know, everything else is there. Plenty of reds and jacks and that kind of stuff. So it's on now. I mean, this is our time of year. The teal are there, and we're building blinds this week. You know, still working them dogs every day, you know, it's that time of year because it's just, you know, teal season is so hard on the dogs because of the grass. You know, there's so much vegetation in the water they have to fight through, so. You really got to try to get them in shape before they go out in it.
Yeah, it's only fair to the dogs. What about the gators? Y'all getting any gators yet?
We haven't tried this. I'm not too worried about trying them. You know, I got all of it booked on certain dates, so when the people come, that's when we'll go get them. I'll get the first one on Tuesday. I got one. Then next week, I'll probably have to kill about 10. So... Yeah, I'm going to Noliasi again this week and shoot a few more doves before the teal season. So it's busy. There's some busy around here right now. I'm getting the boats ready. So it's I don't know. This could be one heck of a fall for me because I was booked up. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, with everything you got going on, the saltwater wedge, the inside fishing, you got the teal season coming around, dove season, you're flying back and forth to Mexico. It's hard to keep up with you jet setters, you know?
Fishing in the river is some of my favorite thing to do. I mean, I enjoy that so much. The water's beautiful all the time. It doesn't matter if the wind blows. You know, if it's rough, you just go another side. I just enjoy that so much. You know, just you can sight fish the redfish or the rocks like we did that day. That's a hoot with a crankbait. So, yes. It's just my favorite time of year.
Yeah, well, we had that young man on the hunt of a lifetime trip that wanted to put every fish he caught on the wall, and he caught a variety of fish. And what a great trip that was.
He was a hoot. He sent me a nice letter, and thank you, and yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, great family, and only wish the best for them. Glad they, it was truly a trip of a lifetime for him. And hopefully we got one scheduled tomorrow. I hope we can pull it off and catch another young man from New Jersey. He's coming down to try to catch a tarpon over there on the Gulf Coast. So we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
Have you heard anybody have a dove field that people hunt, you know, commercial dove field?
I've been trying to get people to respond that might have a commercial field, because I got a lot of people asking where can they go. They want to, you know, and Wildlife and Fisheries has a few that they're selling some leases up in the northwestern part of the state. But anything, you know, down around the south part, even in Mississippi, I'm just not hearing from anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, that's such a personal thing, you know, because it's hard to do it commercially because you shoot it one time and you don't know when you can shoot it again.
Right. And it takes a lot of preparation. And then in some cases, you get some early front comes through, and boom, the doves are gone. You all for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened.
Yeah, they go to Mexico, and they have to go down there and get them. It's terrible.
You don't shortstop them. You long stop them. You go down and get them. Hello, Ryan. Yeah, somebody wants to get you. Give them the website where they can find out all about everything. Teal, fish, gators, whatever.
Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com, or they can call me direct at 504-559-5111.
Very good. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, my buddy. We'll see you.
All right, stay dry. Captain Ryan Lambert. All right, if you want to become a black bear hunter in Louisiana, there's a lottery that you can apply for a permit. Joining us right after this is John Hanks, the large carnivore biologist, going to tell you how you can do it if you want to get in on the first in a long, long time, decades since black bear hunting was allowed in Louisiana. It's back on a limited basis. There's limited permits, and if you want to try to get one, he'll tell you how to do it. Coming back after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. It's been determined that the Louisiana black bear population has increased sufficiently to warrant a limited season that will be held in Tensaw, Madison, East Carroll, West Carroll parishes, and portions of Richland, Franklin, and Catahoula parishes. That season will begin December 7th and run through December 22nd. There is a lottery that is now open and will run through September 25th, conducted by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. And if you are interested in hunting black bear in Louisiana, listen up, because John Hanks is joining me now to tell us all about it. John, if you would, if I'm interested in getting one of these permits and hunting black bear, take me through the entire process. What do I have to do, and what does it cost me?
So, good morning, Mr. Don, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. All you have to do is get on our website or the Louisiana Outdoors website, where you would buy your license, and look for the lottery tab. And when you go to lotteries, look for black bear. And there's three different lotteries. There's a landowner lottery, there's a general lottery, and there is a WMA lottery. And you can enter all three lotteries should you choose so, and if you qualify for all of them. To qualify as a landowner, you have to either own 40 acres or more of contiguous acres in that bear area, or you have to be the designee of a landowner that has that much land in that bear area, or a lessee of a landowner in that area. For the general tag, there is no stipulations other than you must be a resident of the state, and the same for the WMA. And it's a $50 fee to enter the lottery, and if it's for the WMA or the general lottery, it's required that you buy a $25 bear license prior to applying.
Okay, so is it $50 for each of those that
Yes, sir.
So if I wanted to apply for all three, it's $150 plus $25 for the bear permit.
That's correct. And the bear permit license is not included in lifetime or any of the other combo licenses.
Is any of that refundable if I don't win the lottery?
No, sir, it's not.
Okay. Are these permits, if I'm granted one, are they transferable? Can I sell it to someone or give it to someone?
If it's the landowner lottery permit is, the other two, the WMA and the general, are not.
So if I were to turn that down, it would just go back into the lottery and be drawn for someone else?
Yes, sir.
All right. And again, the deadline to get that in will be September the 25th. And what happens after that? If I'm notified either I'm not picked or I'll be notified that I am, I believe there's a class I need, a course I would need to attend, correct?
That's correct. We're going to have a bear hunter training course, and it's going to be all about, you know, identifying bears, judging bears, how to care for your meat, how to, you know, how to track a bear, and you know, what's a good shot, what's a bad shot. It's bears are not deer, and while we're Louisiana's full of great hunters, not many of us grew up bear hunting, so there's a lot to learn about that. And that's, those classes, one will be on November 2nd, and the other one will be on November 14th. We hope to get everyone to come to the first one, because we're going to have people from like the American Bear Hunting Association and maybe some other agencies or represented, and it'll be people that have bear hunted their whole life and throughout the country that can have a lot of information and experience to share with our hunters.
All right. So, and again, if I get picked for the lottery, I get a permit. I get to hunt the entire season until I tag a bear. Is that how it will work?
That's correct. So it's not one of those things where we're going to sell 3,000 licenses, and when we get to 10 bears, we quit.
Right.
There'll only be 10 successful lottery hunters. And so you'll have your tag till the end of the season, whether you take a bear or not. And that's, you know, you'll get the entire season to hunt, the whole 16 days.
All right. Very good. I think you explained it quite well. There it is. And again, the website specifically, if someone wants to get there and get it started.
Yes, sir.
That website, if you'd give it out one more time.
Oh, it's the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. If you'll just Google LDWF, it'll come up. Mm-hmm. Or the LouisianaOutdoors.com, I believe, is where you can go to buy a license. And either of those will get you to the bear lottery. And if you have any problems with that, you can call your local Wildlife and Fisheries office, the one in Monroe that I'm at. The phone number is 318-343-4044. We'll be happy to help you with it.
All right, and if someone didn't get that number and they'd like it, you're welcome to text me, and I'll send it back. John, thanks for being with us. Good to talk to you again, and let's hope we have some good weather. What's good bear hunting weather? What would be a perfect weather day
cold.
For a bear?
we want it to be cold. You know, bears have a very thick hide with a lot of fur and a very thick layer of fat. It's a big, dense animal, and you know how sometimes people like to ride their deer around and show it off. We don't want to do that with a bear. You got to get him cleaned and cooled off as quickly as possible.
All right. I'll be looking for some bear recipes. Thanks again for being with us, John. We appreciate it.
You have a great week.
All right. That's John Hanks, large carnivora biologist with Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Yes, Keith, you got a rainy off and on kind of Labor Day weekend. Hope you can squeeze in something. I know a lot of you got work to do at the hunting camps, getting ready for duck season. Want to get in some of that late summer fishing. It's all there for you. Just got to find the time and dodge the raindrops. Hope to see you again back here next week. We do this each and every week. It's a 2-hour pre-journey into your great outdoors, and you hear it right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right. Some text messages from listeners this morning. We've got Bayou Pete. He's working on socolay poles and crab nets. He's doing well on both species. He really enjoys the show. Thank you, Bayou Pete. Appreciate that. And this one from the Point Lahash Whistler. He's going to be under the house putting the boat blind together. Weather permitting, we'll go out putting floating ropes to keep the lilies out. Yeah, got to make a landing zone for those teal. And here's one asking about fishing reports from Point of Shen, Montague, Cocotree fishing areas. Anybody got any? Text them to me, 504-260-1870. And see if we can maybe find us a reliable reporter we can get from that area to come on from time to time. All right, here's, let's see, we got this one in, got hot and abused by the wind at Ride the Bull, getting rained out at Shell Beach this weekend. No choice but volunteer to perform honeydews this weekend. Suffering in Acadiana. That's from Lafayette Talker, or Yacker, whichever one. He's talking today, not yakking. All right, we have John Terrebonne. He's with the Convent Hunting Club. Hadn't heard from him in a while, but, yeah, we're getting not too far away from the rabbit season. He's on the way to the rabbit dog cages with his 6-year-old son, Kai. And that's his shadow, his hunting and fishing buddy, and he always wakes up and answers to the bell. I love to hear that. And here's to a good season of that lapin hunting, as I say, in Bayou country. All right, Big Ross L is wishing a happy 87th birthday to his father-in-law, Warren Morse, lifelong hunter, fisherman, and a longtime listener. Happy B-Day, Warren. And let's see, we got this one. Lafitte LT had a good trip Thursday before the rain came in. The redfish were really hungry in Turtle Bay and Little Lake area. Thanks for all you do. Boy, that's a great area to fish. I can recall going in Little Lake with Tofio Bourgeois about this time of the year, and you get those big schools of reds start to come in, and you can see them on top of the water. We used to call that nervous water when you'd see those ripples, and once you got into them, boy, whoo, what fun that was. Good old Tofio Bourgeois was part of his area. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause. When we come back, it's bad boy time. No deer hunting in July is allowed. We'll tell you the story of someone who didn't quite get the memo right after we pause. 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On the first of this month, Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Agent Senior Agent Hunter Pearson, Corporal Trey Coates, Sergeant Ed Ridgel, and Agent Ethan Arbor received information about a 10-point deer that was taken from a Baker, Louisiana residence during closed season. Agents made contact with Randall Tabor, living up to the hunt close to his home, and Hunt Early admitted to taking the deer off his property in Baker on July 26 with a rifle. The agents seized the deer antlers and the deer meat and donated the meat to a local charity. They also cited Tabor with taking a deer during closed season, facing maximum criminal and civil restitution penalties in the amount of $2,983 and up to 120 days in jail, is 58-year-old Randall Tabor of Baker, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Well, I guess having a 10-point hanging around your porch was just a little too tempting, and he probably would have gotten away for it, but we don't know this for sure. But could have been that he just had to brag about it, and that's where LDWF got the tip that led to his citation. All right, we'll be back right after this and talk to the Plastic Man, Ryan Lambert. Get a fishing report. Boy, they've been getting socked in down there all morning down in Plaquemines Parish. Will they get out or will they wait? We'll find out right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And I have a text coming in wanting to know, have you heard of anyone catching channel mullet lately? I never, ever hear about them, and they're really a tasty fish. What's the best way to catch them? No, you don't hear a lot of people bragging about them. They're not really a mullet. They're the part of the whiting family. I would describe the texture of that of a redfish, but more the taste of a speckled trout. They don't usually get very big, and my recollection of catching them is pretty much on live or dead bait, although I have caught a few on plastics. And the thing about them is it's generally in a little, I would say, deeper water. You know, in channels, as the name says, I've caught them in the Mr. Go. I've caught them out in the deeper bays and some of the cuts, sometimes in the 14 feet of water in Lake Pontchartrain. And believe me, I never let one go when it gets away because that is an excellent eating fish. It's just not what you consider a high-profile trout, like a speckled trout or a redfish. Ryan, what's your experience with catching channel mullet? I know y'all catch them down there.
Yeah, same thing. You know, when we start vertical jigging, we'll start catching them. And, you know, we'll start fishing the deeper water in the wintertime. That's when we catch them.
In the wintertime, huh? Yeah. Yep. Good fish. Good fish to add to the mix there. What kind, man, looks like that weather's just been sitting on the lodge down there. Are you down there right now?
Yeah, it's been sitting on it for like 6 months now, it feels like.
6 months. I didn't think it was quite that long, but yeah, it's been there all night, I can tell you that.
Oh, it's been a heck of a week with the weather. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
The wind had been so bad, but just the rain everywhere, yeah. Lightning. But, you know, that's all right. We'll get out there. We'll just, you know, the good thing about it is mostly isolated, so you can go around them and dodge them without getting wet or struck by lightning or anything like that. So it's all right. That's been good. A lot of redfish. Hadn't been able to get onto the trout, you know, because those are out in the bay right now. It's hard to make that effort to get out there and get stuck, you know.
You doing any fishing in the river now that the wedge is moving up?
Oh, yeah, it's on. The trout won't show up until later, but, you know, everything else is there. Plenty of reds and jacks and that kind of stuff. So it's on now. I mean, this is our time of year. The teal are there, and we're building blinds this week. You know, still working them dogs every day, you know, that time of year, because it's just, you know, teal season is so hard on the dogs because of the grass. You know, there's so much vegetation in the water they have to fight through. So you really got to try to get them in shape before they go out in it.
Yeah, it's only fair to the dogs. What about the gators? Y'all get any gators yet?
We haven't tried this. I'm not too worried about trying them. You know, I got it all 11 booked on certain dates, so when the people come, that's when we'll go get them. I'll get the first one on Tuesday. I got one. Then next week, I'll probably have to kill about 10. So, you know, I'm going to Noliasi again this week and shoot a few more doves before the teal season. So it's busy. There's some busy around here right now. I'm getting the boats ready. So it's I don't know. This could be one heck of a fall for me because I was booked up. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, with everything you got going on, the saltwater wedge, the inside fishing, you got the teal season coming around, dove season, you're flying back and forth to Mexico. It's hard to keep up with your jet setters, you know?
I fishing the river is some of my favorite thing to do. I mean, I enjoy that so much. The water's beautiful all the time. It doesn't matter if the wind blows, you know, if it's rough, you just go another side. I just enjoy that so much, you know. Just you can sight fish the redfish on the rocks like we did that day. That's a hoot with a crankbait. So, yes, yeah, it's just my favorite time of year.
Yeah, well, we had that young man on the hunt of a lifetime trip that wanted to put every fish he caught on the wall, and he caught a variety of fish. And what a great trip that was!
He was a hoot. He sent me a nice letter and thank you, and yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, great family, and only wish the best for them. Glad it was truly a trip of a lifetime for him. And hopefully we got one scheduled tomorrow. I hope we can pull it off and catch another young man from New Jersey. He's coming down to try to catch a tarpon over there on the Gulf Coast. So we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
Have you heard anybody have a dove field that people hunt, you know, commercial dove field?
I've been trying to get people to respond that might have a commercial field because I got a lot of people asking where can they go. They want to, you know, and Wildlife and Fisheries has a few that they're selling some leases up in the northwestern part of the state. But anything, down around the south part, even in Mississippi, I'm just not hearing from anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, that's such a personal thing, you know, because it's hard to do it commercially because you shoot it one time and, you don't know when you can shoot it again.
Right. And it takes a lot of preparation. And then in some cases, you get early front comes through, and boom, the doves are gone. You all for nothing. Yeah. You know, that's happened.
Yeah, they go to Mexico, and I have to go down there and get them. It's terrible.
You don't shortstop them. You long stop them. You go down and get them. Hello, Ryan. Yeah, somebody wants to get you. Give them the website where they can find out all about everything. Teal, fish, gators, whatever.
Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or they can call me direct at 504-559-5111.
Very good. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, my buddy. We'll see you.
All right, stay dry. Captain Ryan Lambert. All right, if you want to become a black bear hunter in Louisiana, there's a lottery that you can apply for a permit. Joining us right after this is John Hanks, the large carnivore biologist, going to tell you how you can do it if you want to get in on the first in a long, long time, decades since black bear hunting was allowed in Louisiana. It's back on a limited basis. There's limited permits, and if you want to try to get one, he'll tell you how to do it. Coming back after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. It's been determined that the Louisiana black bear population has increased sufficiently to warrant a limited season that will be held in Tensaw, Madison, East Carroll, West Carroll parishes, and portions of Richland, Franklin, and Catahoula parishes. That season will begin December 7th and run through December 22nd. There is a lottery that is now open and it will run through September 25th, conducted by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. And if you are interested in hunting black bear in Louisiana, listen up, because John Hanks is joining me now to tell us all about it. John, if you would, if I'm interested in getting one of these permits and hunting black bear, take me through the entire process. What do I have to do and what does it cost me?
So, good morning, Mr. Don, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. All you have to do is get on our website or the Louisiana Outdoors website, where you would buy your license, and look for the lottery tab. And when you go to lotteries, look for black bear. And there's three different lotteries. There's a landowner lottery, there's a general lottery, and there is a WMA lottery. And you can enter all three lotteries should you choose so, and if you qualify for all them. To qualify as a landowner, you have to either own 40 acres or more of contiguous acres in that bear area, or you have to be the designee of a landowner that has that much land in that bear area, or a lessee of a landowner in that area. For the general tag, there is no stipulations other than you must be a resident of the state, and the same for the WMA. And it's a $50 fee to enter the lottery, and if it's for the WMA or the general lottery, it's required that you buy a $25 bear license prior to applying.
Okay, so is it $50 for each of those that applied,
sir?
For each?
Yes, sir,
okay,
it is.
So if I wanted to apply for all three, it's $150 plus $25 for the bear permit.
That's correct. And the bear permit license is not included in lifetime or any of the other combo licenses.
Is any of that refundable if I don't win the lottery?
No, sir, it's not.
Okay. Are these permits, if I'm granted one, are they transferable? Can I sell it to someone or give it to someone?
If it's the landowner lottery permit is. The other two, the WMA and the general, are not.
So if I were to turn that down, it would just go back into the lottery and be drawn for someone else?
Yes, sir.
All right. And, again, the deadline to get that in will be September the 25th. And what happens after that? If I'm notified either I'm not picked or I'll be notified that I am, I believe there's a course I would need to attend, correct?
That's correct. We're going to have a bear hunter training course, and it's going to be all about, you know, identifying bears, judging bears, how to care for your meat, how to track a bear, and you know, what's a good shot, what's a bad shot. It's bears are not deer, and while we're Louisiana's full of great hunters, not many of us grew up bear hunting, so there's a lot to learn about that. And that's those classes. One will be on November 2nd, and the other one will be on November 14th. We hope to get everyone to come to the first one, because we're going to have people from like the American Bear Hunting Association and maybe some other agencies or represented. And it'll be people that have bear hunted their whole life and throughout the country that can have a lot of information and experience to share with our hunters.
All right. So, and again, if I get picked for the lottery, I get a permit. I get to hunt the entire season until I tag a bear. Is that how it will work?
That's correct. So it's not one of those things where we're going to sell 3,000 licenses, and when we get to 10 bears, we quit.
Right.
There will only be 10 successful lottery hunters. And so you'll have your tag till the end of the season, whether you take a bear or not. And that's, you know, you'll get the entire season to hunt, the whole 16 days.
All right. Very good. I think you explained it quite well. There it is. And, again, the website specifically, if someone wants to get there and get it started.
Yes, sir.
That website, if you'd give it out one more time.
Oh, it's the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. If you'll just Google LDWF, it'll come up. Mm-hmm. Or the LouisianaOutdoors.com, I believe, is where you can go to buy a license. And either of those will get you to the bear lottery. And if you have any problems with that, you can call your local wildlife and fisheries office, the one in Monroe that I'm at. The phone number is 318-343-4044. We'll be happy to help you with it.
All right, and if someone didn't get that number and they'd like it, you're welcome to text me and I'll send it back. John, thanks for being with us. Good to talk to you again, and let's hope we have some good weather. What's good bear hunting weather? What would be a perfect weather day
cold.
For a bear?
we want it to be cold. You know, bears have a very thick hide with a lot of fur and a very thick layer of fat. It's a big, dense animal, and you know how sometimes people like to ride their deer around and show it off. We don't want to do that with a bear. You got to get him cleaned and cooled off as quickly as possible.
All right. I'll be looking for some bear recipes. Thanks again for being with us, John. We appreciate it.
You have a great week.
All right. That's John Hanks, large carnivore biologist with Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Yeah, you got a rainy off and on kind of Labor Day weekend. Hope you can squeeze in something. I know a lot of you got work to do at the hunting camps, getting ready for duck season. Want to get in some of that late summer fishing. It's all there for you. Just got to find the time and dodge the raindrops. Hope to see you again back here next week. We do this each and every week. It's a two-hour pre-journey into your great outdoors, and you hear it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.